Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 79 of the Stomp the Bus Show. I'm your host, Mark Harris, coming at you solo this episode. And what should I talk about today? I was gonna start this show going over some ASU basketball stuff, maybe talk about the Hines Ward hire, but about 2 hours before I decided to record, maybe an hour and a half, checking Twitter, and there it was, Jaden Rashada entering the transfer portal, which is not good for Arizona State. Welcome into the show. Colton will be joining us next week, most likely, as we preview the spring game, a spring game that will not feature Jaden Rashada. Now, it may not have featured him anyway because of his thumb injury. And I don't know, I'm just going to kind of stream of consciousness, just talk about what his departure means for the program. I'm trying to just summarize it up in my head because I'm debating, is this move, him leaving, more because of Sam Levitt gaining the edge in the quarterback competition? Because I'm not going to say beating him out. Although I think Arizona Sports did, I think John Gambadoro tweeted, Sam Levitt is your starting quarterback now for the Devils. So that he is connected with ASU. I don't know if that's like official, but that is something to consider. But is it Sam Levitt gaining the edge on the quarterback competition as the main reason why? Or is the main reason why more NIL, more program exposure, don't trust the trajectory of the program, because if it's mainly one of those three things, then that is so much worse than simply him losing a quarterback battle or feeling as though Levitt had, like, if they're two pace cars, Levitt had, pulled ahead, if that makes sense. That's what's tough about this. But no matter what, I mean, whether he leave, it's just a bad sign. There's nothing, there's no, the only spin is Levitt just beat him out and maybe he'll be a better quarterback. And that could very well be true. Like, I've seen some, tweets about it and just some insight. And, from recent practices, it seemed like Levitt had really been improving. He was also a four-star recruit out of high school as well, not the same type of hype as Rashada, and not the same level of four-star, but he was also regarded as a high, he got recruited to Michigan State out of high school, so it's not like Sam Levitt is, it's not like he's another Trenton Bourget, it's not like he's a Navi Bruzon, who's a talented and apparently playing well, but walk on quarterback from here in the valley. So I do think that, like, Jaden Rashada is a bigger name. He's 100% a bigger name than Sam Levitt. But, like, if Sam Levitt just proved himself to be the better quarterback in camp or in spring practice, then this transfer makes a lot more sense. It's just the huge variable in this is that Rashada wasn't really able to practice that much. And when he did, he was rusty. Because remember, over the offseason, he injured his thumb while he was moving. Yeah, apparently, some sort of needle or a shard of glass or something when he was picking up a box that hit his thumb. It's a very reasonable explanation. And it's just, I don't know. Like, on one hand, it's unexpected, but on the other hand, like, if it was clear that, like, Levitt had really pulled away, then it's not that unexpected, right? So I'm just trying, because the thing that makes me just worried about it being more big picture stuff and not as much related to Levitt is the fact that there's many reports, you can see it on Twitter, like, that Georgia is the favorite to land Jaden Rashada. And Rashada's not going to start next year at Georgia. Like, there's no way, because Carson Beck is there. he, whatever, like it would take so many weird factors for Jaden Rashada to be the starting quarterback at Georgia next, in the fall. And it's college football, so like with me saying that, like it's even more likely that he did start. I guess the only, I mean, other than put the Sam Levitt stuff to the side, the only, and this is just a depressing way to look at it, but the only silver lining is like at least he like wasn't good for like 2 years, and we really, ASU fans like really got attached to him, or even good for 1 year, and like you really get attached to like, oh, Jaden Rashada, he's their guy, whatever. And then he leaves. With him, it's like the potential was there. You could see the potential and you can see the talent, but he just barely, you barely saw any of him. You only see 3 games of Jaden Rashada as a Sun Devil, one against an FCS team, and one when the Devils were totally injured, and against a just more talented Arizona team. So like 2 of the 3 games, it's like, well, I don't even really know what to make of it, right? And then he played against Oklahoma State as well and was okay in that game. But so that's all these things that I'm kind of jumbling around in my head, because I guess I don't come at this from like, oh, Jaden Rashada is the savior and now ASU football is 100% screwed because he left. I don't think of, because like when you bring in Sam Levitt, like when they brought in Sam Levitt in like January, there was a possibility that he was going to end up being the starter, right? Like Kenny Dillingham brought in Levitt as part of a competition. He did not bring in Levitt, to be the presumed backup. Even though like maybe fans thought that he was the presumed backup. And but once Rashada injured his thumb in the offseason, that's the thing, that's the tipping point for, or not the tipping point, but the catalyst that has changed the trajectory of all of this, right? Like if, because it just raises so much more questions. It raises so much more questions. Because if you go into camp and Rashada and Levitt and Borgay are all 100% totally healthy, they won't be limited with anything, and Levitt just beat him out, then like I think it's much less, like it's much more explainable. It's much more. And that line of thought could be the ultimate reason why Rashada is moving on. But we don't, but because he hasn't participated in all the practices, only participated in some, reportedly looked a little rusty, which makes perfect sense because it was, on his thumb, or his thumb joint. So that's just like, that's the key thing. And I mean, like, that ASU doesn't have the NIL that Georgia does. Right. Like, that's not, no one's even, ASU isn't even failing in that category. Like, the issue is when ASU doesn't have the NIL of schools of its similar lot in life. Right. Then that becomes a much bigger issue than Georgia, who's like running at like the peak of its powers right now. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm just resigned to the fact that like if someone offers Jaden Rashada $1 million, which I don't think Georgia would be offering him $1 million, because the thing is he hasn't proven anything. That's the other thing with Rashada, is like he has not proven anything. Now he could, I'm not, I'm not sign, I'm, I get it, I'm wearing the ASU hat, I got a Sun, I'm a Sun Devil, I get it, but he has not proven, keyword there, proven anything. Like there were high hopes, there were tons of high hopes and high expectations. It's not gonna come to be, at least not at ASU. And so now we're all just left wondering, why did he leave? Was it, was it due to NIL? Was it due to not trusting the coaching staff. I don't think it would be that one. That doesn't seem NIL is always going to be up there. But I guess my question is, with the teams bringing him in, is like, he's basically a high schooler coming in, right? Like, just in terms of you're evaluating him based off of his potential for the most part. And, you know, obviously he was very well coveted. And, you know, ASU landing him, it did kind of feel like it was great to get him. But we kind of just fell back into him, right? Like, it just kind of worked out that his dad went to ASU. ASU had just hired a coach, so therefore they were just doing their very first recruiting class. And so, like, they didn't have a quarterback. Sure, we'll take Jaden Rashada, 4-star. Like, of course. Once he got out of that Florida thing, it was between ASU and TCU. So, like, he came to ASU in very unconventional circumstances. He eventually wins the job. Now, in retrospect, beating out Drew Pine and Trent Borgay maybe doesn't look quite as impressive as we thought it was. But it's so tough to evaluate him because he played 3 games. And, you know, he did look pretty good in the first half of the Southern Utah game. That I was at that game. There was a freaking haboob that rolled in mid-game. So 18 to 31, 236 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, that's a good first college start. It would have been better under normal circumstances, I would like to think. Oklahoma State, not that great though. He plays 16 of 29 for 167 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, and 3 sacks. Some of those 3 sacks is due to Emmett Bowley getting injured that game. He also had Guillory drop a pretty important pass on 3rd down. So that there is context to that stat line. And then against Arizona, he didn't play well at all. 10 of 22 for 82 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks, 2 sacks. And I mean, it's hard to that was his first game back. He was playing against a completely overmatched, ASU was so overmatched in that game. So it's hard to be like, oh, you know, he's bad, but he is unproven. He did key difference. Okay. Not bad, unproven. So I don't this is one of those, I don't know how much him leaving actually materially impacts ASU's record this upcoming season, right? I think ASU was going to go 6-6 with Rashada. I kind of just thought the starter was going to be Rashada or Levitt, whoever won it out. I didn't think it was – I did not expect Rashada to transfer in the spring, having not really, even competed that much in spring football. That's the thing that just throws this into haywire. Because, like I mentioned earlier, if it had just been a normal QB competition in the spring, both came in, same standing, exactly the same health, or essentially the same health, and Levitt just beat him out, then, you know, it's much less of a conversation, honestly. And, you know, it's... People just don't know, and including myself, I'm not sitting here and telling you I'm some huge Sam Levitt expert, but it's not like he doesn't have he's a much more similar profile to Rashada than people might think. And I actually I'll retweet some clips on the Stomp the Bus feed on Twitter. There was someone from On3 who was like, you know, I think that Levitt might actually be better than Rashada. And, you know, he played really well senior of high school, this and that. So I think we'll find out a lot of this in the fall. If Sam Levitt sucks, or there's huge learning curves and it just doesn't look right, then, I mean, all of this panic is absolutely deserved and warranted. Then it's just, we could have had Rashada. we whatever like for we don't have the NIL for Rashada. Rashada's at Georgia now. Now we're stuck with Sam Levitt. But if Sam Levitt is either if they're winning games with him or he's playing well, it like or he's clearly playing well and they're like their defense is blowing it or whatever, like then people are gonna forget about Rashada real quick, man. Like it's like it's funny. Like when you look back at the history of ASU in, I don't know, I feel like it's like a lot of times these quarterbacks that come out of nowhere do better at ASU than the guys coming in with all the buzz, right? Like I remember when I was in college, entering my senior year, so my sophomore year it was Berkovici who started. Manny Wilkins started. I'm just forgetting which year Blake Barnett from Alabama came in. It was either the first year of Manny Wilkins or the second year of Manny Wilkins. I think it was the first year that Manny Wilkins started. So they bring in Blake Barnett from Alabama, five-star recruit, like it had all the measurables. Like everyone thought that Blake Barnett coming in was like, oh, well, he's definitely gonna win the job. He's a five-star. Like, yeah, Manny Wilkins is a nice, depth piece, whatever. Manny Wilkins won the job, and Manny Wilkins was a serviceable college football quarterback, right? Like, I'm not gonna sit here and say that he was awesome or anything like that, but he was a three-year starter. I believe he's still playing in one of the spring leagues, which for Manny Wilkins, like, that's a little bit further than you might have thought he would make it, right? Like, so, and my point about that is like everyone thought, oh, it has to be this guy. He has the measure, he has the measurables, he has the acclaim, he has the potential, he has the pedigree, like he has all these things, and then it's like, oh, but this guy who's just at ASU, Manny Wilkins, is better. Like he's just a better player. So there's that example. There's Taylor Kelly coming in. Look, I wasn't there when like the earliest years of Taylor Kelly, but he was super unheralded. Like came out of Idaho, like nobody knew who he was, and he's the best ASU quarterback of probably, I'm not gonna say the 21st century because some of the guys like the Andrew Walters and Rudy Carpenters had really good seasons. So like he's the best in the last 15 years for sure, and the best of my time as an ASU fan. I will say that for sure. So you have, and again, Taylor Kelly didn't, came out of nowhere, a really good college quarterback. Jaden Daniels, like it's weird. Like Jaden Daniels was good at ASU. I'd say his freshman year he was really good. Sophomore year, I throw out. COVID year, I just throw it out. Junior year, his athleticism was like he still ran and picked up first downs with his legs. He had a 50-yard touchdown running at Stanford. That was still there. Through his fault, through the offense's fault, through the, I'm not going to say lack of weapons because they had Johnny Wilson and Ricky Pearsall and Rashad White. So I don't really think it was a lack of weapons, but a lack of offensive scheme, whatever it was. His passing attack just wasn't there in the way that it needed to be his junior year. And that's a big reason why that ASU team underachieved. Relative to its talent, and its competition as well. I think people forget how easy ASU's schedule was in 2021. All right, that's the last 2021 reference I'm going to make. But it's not like Jaden Daniels was like, oh, he's the five star that came and saved the program. Like that didn't really happen. He kept, I mean, they weren't bad with him, right? Like he was good enough to have ASU be like a respectable, tough out college football team, but he did better in at LSU, obviously. So, and I mean, look at it, Jake Plummer. Like Jake Plummer came out of Idaho, I don't think he had a lot of buzz around his recruitment, and I don't know if he's the best quarterback in ASU history, but he had the best probably single quarterback season of anyone in ASU history. So all that is to say, like, sometimes like the quarterback that has all the buzz around them, that has the pedigree, that comes out of high school as like a way higher ranked, like that doesn't always mean it's gonna work out. Now, you still don't want to lose Jaden Rashada. Like there's no scenario where like this is a good thing, right? I'll the only way it's a good thing is that like Rashada has, I mean, Sam Leva has totally pulled away, but I don't think that's the case. Like I've been following, spring football coverage, but it's like, oh, this Leavitt guy's pretty good. It's not like, oh, wow, like this Sam Leavitt has completely, taken the competition and like ran away and hid with it, right? Like he's played well. He's played well. But if you're Jaden Rashada, like I don't know. I can't put myself in his position. It's just in terms of the quarterback competition, right? Like, I doubt that Kenny Dillingham was like, oh, yeah, like, Sam Leavitt's going to 100% be the starter after the spring game. Like, I don't think it was like that. Like, Rashada would have had the chance to, battle for it in August, right? Like, there's no way Dillingham wasn't going to let that happen. He's still going to let it happen with Leavitt, Bourget and whoever they bring in from the portal, right? Like, so that's where it's like, did he just, maybe it was more of like, yeah, it wasn't official, but the writing was on the wall, and it's like, well, maybe I should leave now. I don't want to have to sit another year and sit behind Sam Leavitt and lower my potential transfer value. Like that's part of it too. So, but definitely, it could just be NIL. It could just be like ASU was paying him, whatever, let's say 150 grand. I don't have any insight on that. Just throwing that out. Georgia's like, hey, we'll give you 300 grand to compete. And, you probably won't be the starter this year with Beck still here, but after that, who knows? Like you could just be just as good as any of these other guys we have. And he's like, okay, I'll do that. Or I think it'll be, all these, reports of Georgia being the front runner for him. If he goes somewhere where he ends up starting right away, particularly if it's like a school at or below ASU's level, then we know our answer. Right. Like we just 100% know our answer. However, the fact that Georgia is interested in him, like they wouldn't be interested in him if he wasn't good. They're interested in him for a reason. And maybe, someone who works for Georgia was like, hey, we see that Sam Leavitt's kind of doing well at the Arizona State quarterback competition. And oh, your thumb's still hurting? Well, hey, maybe it's not going to work out for you at ASU. Maybe you can sit behind Carson Beck for a year and make more money doing so than you would have at ASU. And I don't know, like I guess I just come back to my original thought on this. It's like, how much of this is about Sam Leavitt just beating him out or on track to beat him out, right? Like it's unknown. I'm going to show a tweet that kind of indicates it, but it's not concrete at all. And so it's tough because I don't know how many teams around the country are retaining two really good quarterbacks that both have options, right? Or if they are doing that, it would be like, for example, I grew up a University of Washington fan. I still follow them. And right now they have Will Rogers, who has 1 year left of eligibility. And then they brought in Damond Williams, who is with U of A's class, obviously left with Jed Fish, all that. He's up at Washington now. Well, there are reports that, oh, this Damond Williams kid's doing really well at practice. If he doesn't start, like if Will Rogers still had like 2 years of eligibility, then this Damond Williams kid could leave. But maybe because he only has 1 year left, it's like, okay, I can sit for a year and learn that way and then compete for the job with a real chance to win it the following year. And so maybe that's what Rashad is doing if he goes to Georgia, right? Like, okay, like I'll make some more money and I'll sit behind Beck for a year. And then it'll be my turn, potentially. but maybe he goes somewhere else where he starts right away. So that the potential of his future destination will shed some light on this for sure. And obviously the play of Sam Levitt, right? Like if Sam Levitt plays well, then nobody's going to care about Rashada. So speaking of him playing well, I saw an interesting little tweet thread from Chris Cartman. Let me share the screen. No, go. All right. Ivan. Iraq and Iran are trending. And only good things from that. Oh man. Okay. This is from Chris Cartman. Levitt practiced well. And this is a quote tweet of Rashada entering the portal. Levitt practiced well in the last week. Two big play touchdowns to Jordan Tyson in Saturday's scrimmage and another Tuesday. Rashada was just starting to rep 11v11 this week after hand surgery. ASU will need to look for scholarship for transfer QBs. Levitt, Bourget are the only two on scholarship. Analysis. Levitt appeared ahead of Rashada, partly due to the hand injury keeping Rashada out of 11 versus 11 the first two-thirds of spring. Levitt looked pretty good in the last week, and Rashada is just working his way back in. Seems like he got antsy, but I don't know what's on his mind. So that last sentence, the antsy, it's a key word there in my reading of this. Because it's there's nowhere that's like, oh yeah, like Dillingham is saying, Sam Levitt, you are the starter. You know, that hasn't been happening. But if Rashada can see that, like, wow, like Sam Levitt is kind of pulling away, or he not even sees it, thinks it. That's where the antsiness comes in, right? Because if he's a little more, you know, if he's a little more worried about the prospect of starting than he thought he was going to be when Sam Levitt came in, right? Because Rashada went on record. He said, like, oh, I'm not worried about the competition. I'm not scared of it. And now he's in the portal. It's like, yeah, you can say you're not worried about the competition. You can say all that until you have until, you know, you're on the practice field and things aren't going as well as you might think, or you're doing what you think is a good job, but the other guy's just better, right? That's a possibility. Again, it's also a possibility that it's just, it was, he just wants a bigger program. He wants a better opportunity, more money. Like, we cannot discount that. We cannot discount that. It's much easier and much more comforting as a fan to just say, oh, you know, it's Sam Levitt. He's leading the way. And hey, you know, it's just, this is what happens when a quarterback pulls away. Like that's what I'm hoping it is, honestly. But I can't ignore the other reasons, right? I just can't. And we've, you know, we've seen this before with ASU. This is part of why it's so tough. It's just like, it's just another bad news story. Like there's no good news coming from ASU athletics, right? Like there's nothing. I can't even think, like, even when your swim team wins a national championship, the coach leaves the next day, and apparently the difference was like $400,000. I'm supposed to believe ASU can't pay that. That's just baloney. And the athletic director search is still, I don't even know if there's a search. Like it's just happening. We're in the second half of April at this point. We are in the second half of April. We are not in the that I mean, that's even more embarrassing. Like forget about Rashada. Like just the fact that the athletic director search is just continuing on, and then you just the basketball program just rudderless by because of support. And John Wilnard had a great little story on that today. I retweeted that on the Stomp the Bus account. It's rough times, and that's what makes this worse. Like these kind this if you just bottle up every like singular transaction event about ASU athletics in the past, let's just say 6 months for this conversation, but really the past, I mean, you can go back as long as 2 years, 3 years, whatever. Like, if you just take every single departure situation as its own singular event, it's very explainable, right? Like, oh, okay, like maybe Rashada just got beat out, or players in college basketball transfer all the time. Frankie College transferring to TCU, like that's just kind of part of how it is right now. But when you add it all up, you add all of it, you have both of your freshman basketball players from last year transfer out. Even some of your depth guys, like just in this past week, Kamari Land, Brian Silabonge, both entered the portal. Are either one of those losses like program breaking? No, they're not. Let's be real. Like those guys can be replaced, for as much like I would love to have both of them back too. Don't get me wrong. And, Land's like good profile coming out of high school, but. And I don't think he was as bad as he was, as his numbers indicated last year. But I mean, the numbers, it was a full season, right? Like, so it's just like you don't want those guys to leave, though, right? And there was some good news, ASU getting the guy from Ball State, Bashir Jihad, 18 points, 8 rebounds, good shooting percentage. Like, he's a good player. Who knows how it'll work in the Big 12, but at least he has relevant college experience. It's just tough. It's just really tough. And when you just have just the Michael Crow taking forever to hire an athletic director, it's just that you just want to put your hands up in the air. And then it's most likely going to be an internal hire, right? So it's like, oh, okay, so we're waiting 5.5 months to hire someone you could have hired after Thanksgiving, right? You could have just gotten this done way back in 2023, and whatever, I'm not, it wouldn't change a lot of the main issues with the school, right? With the athletic. I'm not saying it would fix everything having a permanent athletic director in place, but it would be a nice first step. It would be a nice, box to check off. All of these schools have made athletic director hires swiftly, quickly. There's no way that like nobody wants this job, or I mean maybe fewer people want this job than normally would. But the guy from UConn, I'm sorry, like he didn't get that job because Michael Crow didn't want him to have this job. Okay. And no one can convince me otherwise on that. It's just tough. And that's it. And it's not, there's similarity to Rashada leaving and Frankie Collins leaving in that, like, those were the two biggest names associated with your two biggest sports programs, right? Those were the two biggest names. Now, were they the two best players? In Frankie Collins' case, yeah, he was the best player on ASU basketball last year. There's no, I know people said Jose Perez was the best player when he left, but Frankie Collins was the best player. Jose Perez was probably the most consistent scorer on a game-to-game basis, but Frankie Collins was just overall a better player. And it sucks to lose him, at least the saving grace is like I think like Cal, and there was some other school in his top six besides ASU. And I was like, man, if he went to Cal, like I do, if you're gonna transfer, I do like at least go to a program that's better. From a basketball standpoint, football, it's more about opportunity, but who knows? Like Rashada could end up at Georgia, like I've said. So, but when you have both of those two guys leave, right? Like that's just from a vibes perspective, from a just health of the programs, just from an outside perception standpoint, it's just hurts. It's just like, man, like we can't seemingly keep the people we want to keep. Now, I've seen some U of A people on Twitter like, oh, when's Elijah Badger gonna enter the portal? When's Scadaboo gonna enter the portal? If I would be, I don't know, like Elijah Badger has stuck through a lot of crap at ASU through his time here. I mean, he was here during the Herm era. He was here before the investigation, all that came out, and who knows? He may, if he stays for this upcoming season, then he might be hear through whenever the investigation gets officially wrapped up. I would be, just in terms of his track record of staying here, I would be surprised if Elijah Badger entered the portal. But like the theme of it being like, oh, this, you know, there could be other guys next, right? Like that's always, we have reason to fear that, right? We have legitimate reason to fear that. Now, I won't share this tweet from Cartman, but I will read it on the show. It's important to keep in mind that Rashada is the first scholarship player on ASU's roster last season to announce transfer plans in the first 3 days of the spring portal window. Most schools already have more, including quite a lot of former four-star recruits. So that is accurate. Like, I think the only two guys, it was like a backup offensive lineman who entered, and then RJ Reagan, who had been lost, like he had been lost on the cornerback depth chart. Like there were just way other guys, way more other guys getting playing time ahead of him. So, you know, I was originally thinking earlier today, I was thinking, oh man, like ASU hasn't really, ASU football has been pretty good through the portal so far. And then Rashada leaves. So that assumption was incorrect, turns out. Man, I mean, just from a wide receiver standpoint, obviously with samples leaving, that is suboptimal, obviously. I'm hoping the name brand, just the natural kind of swag of Hines Ward, I hope that has some impact on these guys in terms of them potentially trying to go somewhere else. With that said, like I would still expect, I don't know, one of Jordan Tyson, Troy O'Meary, Melquan Stovall, or Xavier Guillory to enter the portal. I just one of those guys. For one, there's just too many. I mean, there's just a lot of depth at that position, so that's kind of natural. But with samples leaving, if they were there for Rashada, you know, like, we'll see. I'm hoping that Rashada, it'll be very interesting to see who leaves this spring. Because in, you know, after fall, there were really only three impact guys who left, those being Jordan Clark, Jalen Conyers, and obviously BJ Green. And of those three, like BJ Green is easily the one that's hardest to replace just because of his interior pass rush ability. Jalen Conyers will probably end up being the best pro out of those three because of his body, natural athleticism, all that. And then, you know, Jordan Clark's good player. I mean, he could end up being a pro too. It's just there's so many defensive backs that you can get from the portal. So it's like, it's more of just a, he's not like some transformative player, you know, so like, therefore he's more replay. Anyway, my point is like end of season portal opening in football, like was not that bad, especially when you consider they brought in Raelynn Brown. They brought in, you know, the Kamari Wilson, LaTerrence Welch from the SEC. They brought in Jordan Crooks from the SEC. They brought in Joey Sua, brought in Sam Levitt, obviously brought in, I think there's another. I don't know if they brought in another major receiver, actually, because all of those guys were on the team last year. So, because remember, Jake Smith was ineligible and Jordan Tyson couldn't play. So that limited what you actually saw on the field. So I don't know. But anyway, regardless, like they brought in decent talent. And so now you have a talented player leaving. And that's what I come back to is like, sometimes like the quarterback, you think it's going to be, you build it up to be this guy. He has the hype. It doesn't always turn out that way. That's, I mean, look at Georgia, the school he went to in Georgia, right? Like they've won two national championships. They've won with Stetson Bennett. Okay. And Now, but like Bennett was good enough to get drafted in the NFL. It's not like it was a total like defense carrying him the whole way. That was more the first year, I guess. But the second year, like they don't win that without Bennett. And so that's a perfect example of like you don't know who it's going to be that like is actually good when the bullets are flying on Saturdays, right? I just hate that I have to like go to like, yeah, well, like all this happens, right? Like this is college football, and it's just like, man, like I just wish, I just if you're Rashada, like I guess my thing is, let's just take the NIL stuff out of this conversation just for a moment. Like if you're Rashada, yes, you're behind Levitt at fall at spring camp, right? You're behind him, right? I get it. You still have fall camp to, you know. Go prove that you're better. You know, your thumb will be fine by that point, right? Like that's kind of the thing that doesn't stack up to me. It the like I said, like the thumb injury just adds a whole new element to this. So those are just kind of my initial thoughts on it with Rashada leaving. You know, I didn't want to be in a position where it's like, man, we really have to trust Sam Levitt now. And he could be good. Like that's the thing. Like there is a lot of good signs about Levitt, but it's like I wish this was all happening like after the season, right? I wish we had seen Rashada and Levitt battle it out in fall, and whoever lost the competition, like it's not like they're both, you know, fifth year seniors, and this is each of their last year's eligibility. Like they both have 4 years of eligibility remaining. Okay. Like they both redshirted last year. They like if they didn't play in, you know, or were the backup in the 2024 season this upcoming fall, like it wouldn't, they would still have a whole lot of time to prove themselves in college football. And we would have had a whole season to see like who's actually better. So that's kind of the thing where it's like, I wish we just could have found this out later on instead of being like, oh, like, well, I guess Sam Levitt is our guy now. And he's played well in spring, but we just don't really know what's actually going to be case for him. So, although I guess I'll say this, like having a non number five quarterback, maybe that's what we need. Go back to someone wearing number 10 or whatever Sam Levitt's number is. He was number four. I don't think he's number four this year, so we'll see whatever his number is. Yeah, just a confusing day, and maybe I'll end it with this. Like maybe this ultimately doesn't matter. Like regardless of whether Rashada does well at his next stop, if Levitt ends up being good, or if you know, whoever plays quarterback this year and they end up being like a good player and ASU wins eight games, that's the high end potential. I don't think that's going to happen, but you get my point. Like they play well, then who cares, right? Like at this point with college sports, it's just who is on the roster after whatever the transfer window is. And it's like, okay, let's just roll with these guys. Like this is our team. So see how it goes. This could, you know, maybe this isn't a big deal in the long run, but it's just, I think the other thing is like when Jaden Daniels left, like it was clear the program around him was like exploding, you know? And so it made sense to leave ASU at that point. Even with Rashada leaving, it still doesn't really feel like that. Right. It still feels like there's positive momentum. It's just like, oh, like, wait, Rashada's not here now, you know? Like, so, and that's because of Dillingham bringing Levitt in, and him bringing Levitt in, like, who knows? Jaden Rashada could have left anyway. Like, if he was leading the competition after spring, he could have left anyway. So, thank God we brought in Sam Levitt. That's what we said when Jaden Rashada's hand got injured. We just said, thank God we brought this kid in. And Sam, looks like you're gonna be the starting quarterback this year. So We'll see. All right. Gonna shift over. Well, I'll touch on ASU baseball real quick. I mean, just another disappointing series. You lose first on Friday on Bobby Winkle's bobblehead night. Lose 10-0 to Utah. To Utah. You know, we can Cole and I can excuse a series loss to Oregon State. Like, that's one thing. To Utah, no, you win the second game and then third game, you hang with them for a bit and they pull away, and it's another double-digit run game allowed for ASU. You beat Cal State Fullerton on Tuesday, then you lose to them on Wednesday. And like, I don't even, it's just a really sad season for ASU baseball. And it's, you know, just another of the top four. I mean, really the top five team sports at ASU are all either football is rebuilding and hasn't proven anything yet, and just got a little bit of a ding today with Rashada leaving. And so sure, like there is some positive momentum still, but the last 2 years you've won six games total. So it's in a bad spot. Basketball in a bad spot. Women's basketball in an even worse spot. Baseball in a bad spot. Softball in like the worst spot it's been in years, right? So it's just a masterpiece of underwhelming and bad play. So you know, thank God we won our swimming national championship and our coach left. Like, that's it's wonderful. You know, like with when Colton said, it's just like this football season needs to be good for the collective psyche of the fan base. It's like that psyche just took a big hit today, man, with Rashada leaving. And again, like it doesn't, I don't really know how much him leaving a material in. Yeah. Materially impacts next year's standings, right? Because that's all that really matters. But it seems like it would, right? It seems like it would account for like a win at least. Like, what if Sam Levitt goes in, is injured, go down for a game? Would you rather have Rashada coming in or Borgay? Like, I'd rather have Rashada come in. So it's tough. It's really tough. And we just need the AD in place. We just need him in place. It's not going to solve everything. It's not, but you can't just have no leadership, right? Like, and that's something that's just seems so obvious at this point. Anyway, baseball not doing well. Men's basketball, not really doing that well either. It was good to get, it's good to get this guy, Bashar Jihad. You know, I think that he's a legit, I think that he'll like be a legit, like at least double digit scorer in the Big 12. His film looks good. I saw one clip. You know, I mean, the one of the good things about it is, oh, I don't have who. ASU beat out a lot of other teams to get him. I know UCF was in the mix. There were a lot of power four teams that were in the mix for him. So that is an encouraging sign. Oh yeah, Jermaine Kimbrough goes to GCU. Like, I didn't even touch, haven't even touched on that. That's just sad. You don't like seeing that at all. Now the Devils did replace him. Bobby, this is from Tobias Bass of The Athletic. Arizona State's Bobby Hurley has hired Jarence Howard as an assistant coach. Howard spent time at Illinois, SMU, Kansas, Texas, and Southern Illinois. So, what's good about the Howard signing, and I mean, I don't know anything about this guy, but just based on the fact that he's been a bunch of places, is this dude will have a ton of contacts. And so, that'll be good for bringing in transfer guys. I saw that they were interested in this guy from Northern Colorado named Saint Thomas, which I joked on Twitter, ASU football getting some, or ASU, well, any ASU sports, ASU basketball, excuse me, getting some divine intervention is a good thing. So I thought that was funny, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, hopefully we get some of these transfers. There's been a lot of reports of like, oh, ASU's interested in this guy, they're interested in that guy. It's like, I'm not following all that. Like, it's just let me know when a guy commits so I can judge him off that. Like, I didn't even know who this Bashir Jihad guy was from Ball State before he committed. Happy to have him. It does seem like the strategy is to just get bigger and rely on just more interior scoring. than we have in the past, which is good. Kind of wish that strategy had been employed in previous years, but you take what you can get with ASU basketball, especially given the fact that the school just doesn't support them as much as they should. And John Wilner lays it all out in his story about it today. Basically, their recruiting budget is like $120,000 total, like for the year, which is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous for a school with the size and money of ASU. So, yeah, that's where we're at right now. So, go Sam Levitt. Please, soothe our concerns about the program because, it's right now, it feels like you're all we have. So, and I could see watching him enter the portal. I could totally see that happening. I mean, just with that would just be so on brand if he entered the portal right now. I mean, good Lord, I don't think that's gonna happen, but we'll see. And hey, Hines Ward is now on staff, so we got two Super Bowl rings in the coaching staff as well. Well, thanks for listening. Not the most fun episode, but it's not the end of the world. Most likely, but still not a great day, not a great news development with Rashada transferring out. Please like and subscribe, rate and review, and as always,